Who are the banksters? What's the bank cartel up to? In a moment, we will check in with, of course, the guerrilla economist. We call him V on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. V, the guerrilla economist, has worked for some time at the top commodity trading firms and investment banks. He has contributed to private think tanks that help create investment policy. His track record is uncanny, very documented. He's appeared with Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, both our special guests here on Coast to Coast AM. V has predicted with incredible accuracy the play-by-play of the Eurozone crisis. He was one of the first to warn about Japan's disastrous economic policies. And here he is on Coast to Coast. V, how are you, sir?
George, it is a pleasure to be on with you tonight and all the people out there listening on Coast to Coast. I'm doing fantastic.
I'm looking forward to this. Now, why do we call you V?
Well, it's a it's my nom de plume. V is a letter symbolizing both my first and my last name. And being that I have a very unique name and to want to remain somewhat anonymous as I operate in these murky waters, so to speak, hence I became V.
Super.
And, it just so happens to be it's a popular character that's been created by Alan Moore, which later on became a movie that the Wachowski brothers created, V for Vendetta.
You got it. And for a moment, I thought maybe you were after the cartel, but I guess in a simple way you are, aren't you?
Yes, I am after the cartel, correct.
Now, when you're hiding under this V, is it because of safety concerns or professional concerns?
Both. Okay. Case in point, I had a cohort a few years ago that opened his mouth about the J.P. Morgan metal scandal.
Okay.
And that occurred in London. And suffice it to say, he was T-boned at an intersection while he was in his Ferrari with his wife.
Oh.
So, you know, in this world...
That happens. It does happen.
Exactly.
I mean, I still have my doubts about Michael Hastings, the reporter.
Exactly.
Whose Mercedes simply blew up and caught on fire. So.
Well, that's the nature of what things are turning into, George, is that freedom of the press is something that's being choked out of in many parts of the world today. And it's sad to say and breaks my heart that in America, that's exactly what's happening. And the fact that they're blowing up journalists in broad daylight, that even that's not enough to wake up the American populace is absolutely bewildering to me.
Just so everyone knows, too, I have no idea who V is in terms of his real identity at all. He's been with Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman, two people I respect, and that's good enough for me. But we don't know each other, V. Correct?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Correct.
It's almost like, what's my line? Who is sign in, please? What is really going on this planet? Because people are just baffled over what's happening all over the place.
Correct.
What's happening, in your opinion?
Well, you have what's called the story that's been plastered on the news, that's been plastered on television to make everybody think that, you know, this is what reality is all about. And then you have the actual truth. And the truth is something that's put behind multiple layers of multiple compartmentalized theories, hypotheses, stories, opinions, critiques, all sorts of things to throw the person off. The reality is, George, is that humanity has been, and I'm talking about free humanity, has been in a millennial struggle against a creature, a subhuman creature called, well, recently called the banksters. And I believe that term was coined by Gerald Celente.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
Doesn't live too far from me, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. The previous name of these banksters were known as international bankers at one point, and prior to that, they were known as the money changers. Okay? So for thousands of years, we've struggled against it. For some reason, there's always been a group themselves from the population at large, and they've always sought covert means to control the population. And their biggest mechanism of control has always been the private control of currency and the issuance thereof. So most of the suffering we see today, George, in the world is basically suffering that's created by this banking cartels that have existed for a very, very, very long time.
Why do they do this, V? I mean, they've got more money than God.
Yeah.
They can do anything they want. Are they bored? Is this like a game for them?
That's a great question. From my personal experience from being around some of these guys, they are bored. It is a bit of a game to them.
It is.
It's not about money because they have more. Look, they print the money for the love of God.
Right. They have.
It is about power.
They've got their
it's
money.
It's always about control. Yep.
They've got their boats. They can do what they want to do. This is power. They love to see people manipulated.
Yes. It is a game they play amongst themselves. It is a game that they play amongst each other. They, in fact, compete. There are various arms of this cartel, and they compete against each other, almost like points. You see, at the lowest level in Wall Street, you have a stockbroker, okay? And that stockbroker, if he's good, is someone who is very ruthless, number one. Number two is someone who is doesn't care about anything or anyone. And the money is simply something that is just like points in a video game. It means nothing to him. In fact, most stockbrokers, they go broke very shortly after leaving Wall Street because this game fuels their very lavish and fast lifestyle, okay? So that's at the lowest level. And as you begin to climb the rungs of the ladder, you see that from this thrill-seeking, young, amateurish, sophomoric mentality, they start evolving. Those who survive the initial stages of wanton excess and voluminous amounts of cocaine, when they survive that and they cut through that, they get to a level where they just become absolutely non-human. And what I mean by that is any semblance of conscience is gone. There is no patriotism. There's no country. There's no language. There's no border. All it is at that point is pure profit, power, and control. And that's what it boils down to.
If you met them in a meeting or at a social setting, and I mean you being collectively all of us, would we like these people or not?
No. They are social misfits. These men are social lepers. They are very arrogant. They are very haughty. They believe that these men are delusional. They believe that they are masters of the universe. And the reality is, George, is that these men could not fight their way out of a paper bag. And they think...
Had they didn't have the money.
Exactly. Exactly. So to them, it's the game. It's the aura that they carry themselves with, this benevolence that they feel that they have, that they're somehow separate, they're somehow special from the rest of mass humanity. Thus, they deserve the right to shape the future of humanity. They deserve to, how they would say, control or coerce the future evolution of human society.
V, how did they get their wealth? Were they born into privilege? Is that how they did it?
Some of them were born into privilege. See, what happened, George, for over 1,000 years, okay, there's always been groups that have tried through various means to get a hold of the money supply, you know, of civilization, okay? Now,
they seem to have done that.
They seem to have done that. Now, the thing is, are now at a level where they're much more networked than before. prior to, I'd say, the 19th and 20th century, they were not as networked as they are now. So they've achieved much of what they set out to do. They have a fully integrated world. They have a world that's fully connected. And they have their strings into everything. They have their hands into every facet of much of the countries of this world in terms of their banking and industry and manufacturing and finance, which also controls the political spectrum of many of the nations. So they have it. The final missing ingredient in this whole thing is having a crisis to completely bring the world to its knees in order to integrate it into the one last financial system and total control that they've been seeking for a long time.
The wealth and power that they have secured, and they quest, you know, to do more and more of this. How many families are we talking about?
Well, you're looking at originally about 15 to 17 families, okay? Over the years, some of them have lost wealth, some of them have gained wealth, some of them have come, some of them have gone.
Okay? And this would not be the new money people. It's not the, or is it, the Bill Gates who hit a home run with Microsoft, you know, Zuckerberg with Facebook, these billionaires. Are they those people, or is this even beyond them?
It's beyond them, George. I mean, look, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, these guys, they're allowed to get to a position because they're allowed to, okay, in order so they can be an agent, okay, an agent that will create the policies, the changes that the banksters would like to see enacted. So it's beyond them. Okay, so when we see the paper wealth put out there by guys like Bill Gates, oh, he's worth, you know, $53 billion. Zuckerberg's worth about $4 billion. You know, Carlos Slim, $70 billion. These are just like numbers that are irrelevant. These banking cartels and the royalties that seem to congregate or move in conjunction with these guys, they're in the trillions. I believe a Russian economist has actually valued, and we all know the infamous Rothschild family, has actually valued them over the course of hundreds of years at around $400 trillion.
Wow. See, the average person, V, just wants to be left alone.
Correct.
You know, all they want is a nice place for them and their families, maybe a car or two, a comfortable job. They want to be able to go to sporting events. They, you know, they just want to have a nice existence and be left alone. But these people can't seem to leave them alone, can they? They're
No.
always bugging people.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's the last jewel on this crown that's stopping their whole thing, that's really slowing things down for them, is the United States.
How so?
The saving grace of this country was the founding fathers. The saving grace is that these men were intelligent enough that they drafted a constitution that not only ensured us a freedom of speech, but has also ensured us the right to bear arms, which they are totally freaked out about.
And they're misinterpreting what it means.
Exactly. And I promise you it has nothing to do with sports hunting or anything like that.
No.
And the founding fathers have set up a system to limit the controls of government. Now, over the course of 30, 40 years, they have accelerated their erosion. They have accelerated the evisceration of the Constitution of this country.
Precisely.
And it's only recently, George, that they've brought this country to a level where the executive has so much power. And that's only done through their manipulation. Never before has a president come out and say, hey, you know, I'm the commander-in-chief. I can do whatever I want. You're not the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, I have this executive order. I'm just doing it.
Exactly. You see, the founding fathers always intended that the president gets the declaration of war from Congress, And once he gets that declaration of war, then he becomes commander-in-chief.
That's right.
And now it's all upside down. So this is the world they've created. They've done this through mass conditioning. And so, you know, they need that crisis. They've been working hard on trying to get America subjugated, and they've succeeded for the most part.
Yeah, I would say they're doing a pretty good job bringing us down to our knees, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think in the long run, V, that person that I just mentioned who just wants to be left alone, I think they're going to fight back. And I don't necessarily mean physically, but I think they're going to say enough is enough. They're close to that. They're not there yet. But I think that's going to happen.
George, the reality of the situation is this. Never before has there been such a resistance to the banksters. Never before has there been such an awakening as to what this creature that was born on Jekyll Island called the Federal Reserve, what it really is.
Yep.
Never before has there been such a light shown on such cockroaches that is causing them to scurry. Okay? Now for the first time, because of this invention that Al Gore created called the Internet, and I joke about that.
Yeah, that's right. Great invention, Al.
Yeah. Because of the Internet, they've overestimated so many things. Number one, their biggest mistake is they've underestimated the human spirit. They've underestimated the vast majority of Americans. They've underestimated the fact that there is free information out there. And, George, the biggest underestimation they've ever done is they've underestimated the power of the alternative media.
Yes.
And it's because of shows like Coast to Coast and Steve Quayle and Doug and Alex Jones and so many others that are part of what's being called the alternative media, which I'm starting to call the new media, we were able to put a stop and slow things down considerably, okay? Now, let me tell you something. One of the things that I was trying to highlight and the things that were showed to me going into, August, was that there was definitely supposed to be a taper from the Federal Reserve in September. It was supposed to happen, George, and that would have been the contraction that brought the economy to its knees.
Right.
And it was supposed to coincide with a false flag.
Right.
Okay? And that false flag was in Syria. They gravely miscalculated. You see, the biggest problem the banksters have is, number one, they're still human. They make mistakes. They're not perfect. Okay? And number two, the second biggest problem the banksters have is they got to deal with people. And guess what? People are imperfect. Some are just downright idiots. Okay? And that's the case what we happened in Syria. The scenario that was supposed to play out was the false flag in Syria was supposed to work, supposed to have the mass amount of casualties. It was supposed to be blamed with an airtight case against Assad, which would have brought us to the quote-unquote red line.
Who, by the way, is no Boy Scout.
Absolutely. Who? But he is a saint. He is a choir boy compared to Al-Qaeda.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. The mistake he made was when there was the civil unrest, the way he went after them, he should have tempered that. I think he probably could have worked things out. But I suspect that the play was already afoot to get these rebels to do what they were doing.
Absolutely. Al-Qaeda is the perfect proxy army of the banksters. Okay? And I'm going to tie in a few things, especially with the Middle East and how critical it is.
All right. Well, hold on for a second, V. Okay. We're going to take this break and come back and talk more with you. V, of course, is with us. His website, roguemoney.net, which is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Later on, we'll take some phone calls in this split show right here. V, our special guest. I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. I just know him as V. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Have you had a chance yet to watch our television program, Beyond Belief? And it's on demand right now. That means you can watch it anytime you want. Simple as that. Watch it on the internet. Watch it on television. You can get those little devices now that allow you to watch internet programs right on your big flat screen. So you can do all that. How do you do it? Well, it's 10 days free to look at it. Simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. V's with us, the Gorilla Economist. I like that, by the way. Why do they call you the Gorilla Economist?
Well, it's a name that I guess was bestowed upon me in the sense that, you know, you look at historically what the terminology gorilla is. It's a freedom fighter, so to speak, someone who's against the system. And if you listen to what I say, it's basically complete antithesis of what many of the mainstream economists or those who dabble in the markets would say. So it's basically, you know, getting rid of all the fluff and giving you the raw truth. And because of my run-and-gun style, the moniker Gorilla Economist just began to fit.
The Federal Reserve, that some people are now beginning to realize, just is not part of the federal government.
Right.
They continue to print money, fiat-based money. Nothing's backing it. They just keep printing and printing and printing. How do they do this? I mean, how are they allowed to do this where other countries, rogue nations, they can't do it because they have no banking system to do it?
Right.
How do they just simply print money?
Simple.
Nobody stops them.
Right. Well, when this monster was given life in 1913, okay? Now, prior to that, there's been a couple of politicians who have fought valiantly against the Fed, and one of them was Louis T. McFadden. Now, we all are familiar, those who don't know, McFadden fought, he was a senator, he fought the Fed tooth and nail, preventing it from being enacted. And when the Fed came to power, and, you know, Christmas Eve, majority of Congress was out on Christmas vacation, and I think it was about six people that, you know, voted to get this thing set up. Nelson Aldrich from New York being one of them, and then it was written into law by Woodrow Wilson. McFadden said something that was so profound. He said, the American public had no idea that a banking cartel, that a group of bankers and industrials have taken over America, that the Fed has not only taken over America, but they have usurped, his words, usurped the government, okay? That is why, till this day, there is no audit of the Federal Reserve. That is why, till this day, they work with the same modus operandi as the Bank of England, and that is the quote-unquote investors, which are the private banks, in the Federal Reserve system are still unknown. That is why when I believe it was the former person who ran Meet the Press, I just can't remember that gentleman's name, who died.
Tim Russert.
Tim Russert. There you go. I was going to say Tim Robbins.
Yeah, he's still kicking.
But when Russert was interviewing Greenspan, the question that he asked Greenspan was this. He said, what is the relationship between a Federal Reserve chairman and the President of the United States? And Greenspan looked at Russert dead in the eye and said, there is no relationship. We don't care who the president is and what laws they enact. Think about that.
Yeah. Because nothing can stop them.
Correct. But, okay, this is the image they want. Like I told you, they have been drunk on their own hubris. And the image that they like to portray is that they're invincible. But they've always underestimated one thing, George. That one thing they underestimate is this. Even though they give us this worthless piece of paper printed out of thin air called the dollar, or, you know, a fiat currency, okay? They underestimate that free markets and free individuals dictate what currency is.
That's true.
Not central banks, not governments. Why do you think they are panicking about gold and silver? Why do you think they artificially suppress it? It is like kryptonite to these banksters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like garlic.
It should be $3,000 an ounce.
Exact. George, my estimates, okay, right now if you just take some of the suppression off, you adjust it for inflation, gold should be around $5,000 to $6,000 an ounce.
Wow.
Silver should be, right now, conservatively speaking, $450 to $500 per ounce.
Yeah. And where's silver now? High 20s?
Low 20s.
Low 20s.
it went to high 20s a little bit. Then he had another round of suppression coming in because, look, if you people ask me all the time, well, V, why are they doing this? Why do they want to suppress precious metals? Well, the answer is simple. If you are a central banker, okay, if you want any sort of monetary credibility, you cannot have high gold and silver prices. You just can't have it.
No.
Especially if your currency just so happens to be the world reserve currency.
Then that's probably what did Saddam Hussein in when he wanted to switch and get away from the dollar for his oil.
Correct. And let me tell you guys something. The folks need to understand this. We don't go to war for the quote-unquote cause of democracy, okay? And I'm sure the coast-to-coast listeners know that.
We
but
know.
Anybody who's new to listening in, and this is a complete shock to your system, the truth is we don't go to war for democracy and spreading freedom. These are all catchphrases. These are all axioms that we like to make the public feel good when we're about to go out there and commit some atrocities for corporate and banking interests. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. Look at what's going on in North Africa. It is the war for the survival of the petrodollar. That's what's really going on.
And it's been going on for a long, long time.
Correct.
I mean, the CIA threw out Mossadegh in Iran a long time ago because he wasn't playing game with the British Petroleum.
Correct. And who was the CIA section's chief that took control of that whole operation, Operation Ajax? Good old Kermit Roosevelt.
Is that the
first? And what did Kermit do? Well, we machine gun school buses, we blew up apartment buildings, blamed it on Mossadegh, right?
That's right.
All sorts of.
And they got him out and got the Shah in.
Yep.
See, I think these people are concerned about two things.
Yeah.
The guns we carry and the population. And I would guess that they would like to try to do away with both.
You're absolutely correct. Now, the thing is, George, okay, they've backfired. And like I said, they make mistakes. They're not perfect. Okay, some people might have this image of these benevolent group of men and we're powerless against them. The reality is this. They make mistakes, okay? Every single event that has occurred that it appears to be a quote-unquote Manchurian individual committing atrocities in gun-free zones has backfired. Americans are buying more guns. Okay?
Yeah, they
that
are.
That freaks out the banksters. They're like, wait a minute. They're buying guns at a record pace. Okay? Every time, you know, they try to do something, it's been backfiring. Like before we went to break, I mentioned about Syria, okay? Because they gave this chemical weapons to a group of morons, okay? But the funny thing with these young punks running around holding the Al-Qaeda banner is that these guys tend to videotape themselves in everything that they do.
And put it on YouTube and Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the banksters overestimated. They have a bunch of young guys with room temperature IQs running their operations, and it's backfired severely on them. Because of that backfire, the whole taper thing was thrown out the window. They couldn't get their taper. Okay, now they're saying, okay, we're just going to keep printing. Check back with us in October. Coincidentally, what I've been told from my sources is that there will be no serious strike in September. And I said this on Doug's show, you know, within a few days of this happening. Okay? And sure enough, there's nothing going on in September in Syria.
Well, I said the day these very unfortunate people were gassed,
yes,
that it probably wasn't Assad. He can't be that stupid.
No, why would he gas his own people when he's winning?
And he knows that would have got him out.
Exactly. Exactly. So this, and then you have the Russians, who have absolutely checkmated the U.S. in the Middle East.
Yeah, they
completely
did.
Completely taken any military option off. And the reason for that is this, folks. Look, you got to understand what's going on in the Middle East. It is about the natural gas, okay? That's what it's all about. On my site, roguemoney.net, there's an article called Why Syria. It's also on Steve Quayle's site, detailing very clearly what's really going on, why the Qataris and the Saudis are funding al-Qaeda through these proxy wars to overthrow Assad. Now, coincidentally, look at the three cities in Syria where the most conflict is occurring: Aleppo, Homs, and Damascus. Coincidentally, those are the three cities in which this natural gas pipeline is supposed to run. Okay? Look at what's happening, what happened in Libya, in Tunisia, what's happening in Egypt. A pipeline is supposed to run through there, just like what's happening with Afghanistan. All right? Look at every military base in Afghanistan. It is happens to be where this proposed Caspian pipeline is supposed to run through. That's what this whole thing is about. The problem in Syria is that Syria has a very close relationship with Russia. Now, who does it happen supplies all the natural gas to the Europeans?
There you go.
The Russians.
Yep.
Okay? That's why Vladimir Putin cannot allow Syria to collapse. Because if Syria collapses, 25% of the Russian GDP goes bye-bye. Okay? And he cannot let that happen. So the deal that's been struck on the back end between Qataris, Petroleum International, Qatari International Petroleum, and ExxonMobil, all right, is to get the liquid natural gas and the natural gas over into the hot European markets. You see, Syria is just happens to be in the way. It is number one. And number two, it's about taking out Russia. And number three, it's about the prize of Europe.
And it's all laid out. It's right there. It's in black and white.
Clear as day for anybody who takes the time to look.
What is going on with the future? I want you to look into your crystal ball, V. What's going to happen in the next year or two?
Okay. If the thing that has come down because of what has occurred with this Syria false flag, look, it's so important. That is a pivotal moment with what the banksters wanted to do. As I said before, if the banksters got the kind of response they were looking for with the Syria false flag, that would have triggered a massive regional war, which would have instantly collapsed our economy. It would have been bedlam and mayhem, and we would have been a locked down society with things really spiraling out of control. Okay, now, okay, the other faction of the banksters are really putting their weight into pulling things back, saying, let's just kill America economically. Let's just give them the slow bleed. And the slow bleed is we're looking at a total, complete collapse in about a year or two, okay?
You predict this or you think this could happen?
I'm thinking very strong, and I'm predicting just from my data itself. I'm really predicting if they do this. Now, this is barring, and I'm going to make this very clear. This is barring some unforeseen, quote-unquote, black swan, like my colleague Nicholas Taleb says, okay? This is barring some sort of a black swan event, okay? Barring an event like that, the slow bleed would bring us to a collapse at least in about a year to 2 years at the most, okay? At that point, we're going to be completely into a wonderful environment, never before really seen before, and that's stagflation, where you have ridiculous amounts of high unemployment. You have incredible amounts of zero growth GDP and hyperinflation of your currency all at the same time. So it's the worst of both worlds.
Yep, it really is. Well, we'll have to see some of this and see how it unfolds. What will be the telltale signs so we know it's leading and creeping in that direction?
Well, the telltale signs we've heard with the FOMC is that the Fed has decided that they're going to go ahead and continue to stimulate.
$85 billion a month, right?
$85 billion a month continued, number one. Number two, okay, we're going to see a massive collapse in the housing market. Now, folks, back in May, all right, the Fed tried to get the housing market stimulated, and housing prices rose about 6%. Okay, that is simply because you had investment firms that went out and began to purchase homes 10,000 here, 20,000 here, 30,000 over there, in the hopes that these foreclosed homes will be sold off the market, number one, or these, at that time, very hot idea of rent to own. Okay, now we're hearing news that all these firms that have done this, now they're dumping properties. Okay, now people ask me all the time, because I've worked on the back end of this with the whole robo-signing, when we purposely shut off the flow of these foreclosed homes into the market. People ask me, well, V, how many houses are there in shadow inventory? It's 34 million plus. That's how many houses are out there in shadow inventory, most of which are foreclosed on, many of which are uninhabited, many of which are just in a very bad predicament. Okay, now people will say, well, how long would it take for us to fill those homes? Well, I like to use the example in a micro level with Ireland. And Ireland's a country that has about 300,000 homes that are vacant. Okay, if current population and economic growth levels in Ireland, it will take them 40 years to fill those homes. With us in the United States, take into account our population growth, our economic statistics right now, that would take us 300 years to get close to filling those homes.
Well, look at Detroit.
Detroit, George, is the very petri dish of what happens when you have bad economic policies and bad spending and out-of-control policies, and you see that in Detroit. And Detroit is a type and shadow of where the rest of this country is going unless we wake up and put a stop to this nonsense.
But how do you do that? How do you stop it? How does the individual stop it?
Here's how the individual stops it. You stop it first. We've all heard the adage, oh, you know, local and state governments first. Well, here's the thing, folks. I think we've seen a perfect example of this about 2 weeks ago in Colorado, when they recalled two senators who were, you know, who were
against guns, right?
Exactly. Okay? That's what we have to do. We got to have an amendment to the Constitution that Jefferson always wanted, which was having a term limit on senators. Okay? And number two, what we need to do is begin to get proactive on finding who are these cronies, because the Republicrats and the Democans are the two of the same wings, all right, on the same dragon, all right? So we need to understand, and people need to have a discernment that figuring out who are the politicians that's pro-American and those who are not, okay? Psychopaths who've been around for way past their prime, psychopaths like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. These are guys who not only need to be put out to the glue factory, they need to be recalled yesterday, okay? So the American people have to get proactive in that. And once we start getting aggressive and we start kicking back against the banksters, that's when they lose. And we got to demand that the Congress gets reinstated with the command, the issuance, and the flow of currency and credit.
Well, let's hope so. V, we're going to take some phone calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. His website, roguemoney.net. You do not do the www. Just type in roguemoney.net, and we've got it linked up for you.